Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can't wait to see what happens tonight in the NBA draft. Because, boy, it could be a franchise-changing moment for the Cavaliers. They've had some of those in the NBA drafts over their history. Of course, one happened in 2003 when LeBron James was the number one overall pick in the NBA draft.
Still not the best.
Brad Doherty, 1986.
Not even close.
That was a big moment as well.
There's only going to be one first number one.
And that guy joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The number one overall pick, the pride of the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame out of the 1971 draft. He's Austin Carr. What's up, AC?
What's happening, Jeff?
How are you, buddy?
Andy?
Hey,
how you doing?
Austin, where'd you go to college?
University of Notre Dame.
Thank you. Austin, it's Notre Dame. My man here wants to think everyone.
I was just going French on his
no
AC.
No way. You do that all the time. Like, Notre he corrects Dame. Me. I say Notre Dame. He goes, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing fine. Just getting ready for the draft tonight. And, hopefully we'll get the guy we want. And it looks like it's either Culver or Garland, one of the two. I don't know. That's where it seems to be going. But we'll wait and see what happens. I still think there might be some moves made.
AC, that's the thing. Andy and I have been talking about this until the cows come home, and they're not home yet. And, we have four guys in there. We didn't think Garland. We thought Culver. We thought Hunter. We thought Cam Reddish. And then the Pelicans make that deal with the Lakers, and now Garland's in play. Man, I don't know, AC, which one of these guys is going to be the best. We don't know which one's going to have the biggest upside. This is, I think, one of those situations where you have to completely trust the front office that they have done their due diligence and they're ready to pick a guy that they think is going to have the best career.
You're right. I mean, that's about all you can do, and that's about all that ever happens anytime when you think about it, because, all the drafts they're trying to come up with, saying it's Zion, the next LeBron. Well, even LeBron, he turned out to be one of the greatest ever to play, but who was to know that? Nobody. There's a lot of situations where you have to depend on your scouts and hope that they make the right decision, because the toughest thing to do is, both of you know, is to project a guy into the future. That's hard to do.
All right, first of all, what golf course are you calling us from? That's the most important phone call. Most important
question.
Oh, no.
I'm going out to do it. We have a basketball clinic today out at Fairview Rec Center, and I'm going out there to do that with the Cavs Summer League guys. So I'm headed out there now.
Yeah, there's plenty of golf courses around there. Austin, we know you too well, man. Don't tell us you're working today.
AC, what's draft day mean to you? Your story is so much fun. If you can go over that for us, and the way things have changed are unbelievable.
Yeah, well, a lot of the younger people would not understand my draft story, because it's too antiquated. I mean, what we did was, I had an art history class, and it was a late day class. And when the professor walked out of the room, and when he came back in the room, he told me, he said, he announced to everybody that I was the number one draft pick in the NBA, and that was it. And I said, I went back to class, and that was it. nothing spectacular. They didn't fly me to New York.
What suit did you wear to that class that day?
I think if that day I probably had on a pair of raggedy jeans and a T-shirt.
Isn't that something, AC? What a different world.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, and along with that comes expectations, too. And, you never know which one of these players can hold up to the expectations. And that's another thing. Zion has a lot of pressure on that young man to perform. And and he's going in now. He's playing against grown men who know how to play. So it's going to be quite an experience for the young man. But he has a wealth of talent, and he's going to be quite – put it this way, people will come to watch the way he plays. People will come to watch him play.
AC, did you have to do workouts for teams, or how did that work? Or did they just basically draft you on how well you played for Notre Dame? Yeah.
No, workouts. I mean, no. There was no such thing as workouts. I mean, you went about your business after your college season was over, and then you'd hope for the best. But
that's great. I mean, for the number, that's amazing to me to think that a number one overall, like they didn't. Like, at what point did you talk to Bill Fitch? What was the first time you talked to the head coach?
After they drafted me.
Wow.
Yeah, I never talked to him before at all. I mean, the way it was set up, the way everybody was, you know, how they predict the draft, everybody had Elmo Smith going first and had me going, I think, third or second to the next. Well, actually, I think it was third because that was Golden State. I was supposed to go to Golden State third, and then Cleveland drafted me number one.
That's a label that sticks with a guy, AC, that number one overall pick.
Yeah, well, it's quite an honor, and I really appreciate it, and really, you know, it's quite an honor to be picked the number one guy in the country for that particular year, and I cherish that quite a bit.
Austin Carr joining us, color analyst on the Cleveland Cavaliers games on Fox Sports Ohio. You can hear him with Fred McLeod. AC, when the Lakers and Pelicans pulled off the trade that they pulled off, what was your initial reaction?
Well, I knew it was going to happen because, I mean, it was already put into play just during the season. They couldn't make it work during the season, which they wanted, because I know LeBron's probably triggered. He's running out of time, so he wants to get going as quick as possible. But I kind of knew it was going to happen. I mean, that's the way things are working in the league now. You don't have – once a guy sets his mind on leaving, he just forces his way out. And that's basically what they did there. And, you know, eventually it worked out in their favor. I mean, they had to – I think the Lakers had to give up too much. I thought – you know, that it was stepping rules. You couldn't do what they've done, but I guess when you straddle every other year, I guess they let you do those crazy things.
AC, what do you think of the power of agents right now? I mean, there's always been powerful agents, but it feels like, and I won't get into names because I don't want to do that, but I think people can assume. So to have an agent who's more powerful than the GM that they're trading to, like, what do you think of the way things are set up right now? And is it right? Is it good? Is it bad? What do you think?
Right now, it's going a little bit out of control, I think, because they actually run the league. What they say goes. I mean, and the people that should have the power don't seem to have it anymore. And that's one thing that concerns me.
It's interesting, isn't it, AC?
So who should have the power then?
Oh, yeah.
AC?
Well, that's the owners. The owners should have the power. I mean, okay. And because that's who, they're the ones that's taking the risk. They're the ones that's signing these guaranteed contracts and to guys who either make or break the team or the franchise. And, you know, so I just think they should have the last word or the say-so, but it seems like the agents have taken over the game, and they've risen from being on the last on the totem pole to top of the totem pole since the days I played.
Mm-hmm. Austin Carr joining us. AC, when you watched the NBA Finals this year, and you saw what happened to Golden State, kind of what happened to the Cavs back in 2015, losing key guys, and I felt for the guys, for the Warriors. I mean, you don't want to see anybody get hurt. But I had two things that struck me. Number one was a non-rooting appreciation for Golden State and what they've been able to accomplish in the way they play the game. But number two, a Toronto team that had been pretty good for a while, they add one different piece, they change something out, and it finally clicks for them, playing a team kind of basketball that maybe we haven't seen without like a big three in a while. What struck you about the finals?
That, to me, is what really struck me is basketball returning back to you don't have to have three stars to be a winner. I mean, that to me is the biggest thing that I got out of the whole playoffs. I mean, they had one guy whose attitude, not so much his talking, but the way he played, leads by example, changed their whole mentality of that franchise, because they were a soft team. That's how we beat them the way we beat them over the years.
Yeah.
But Kawhi gave them a little extra oomph, and that's what got them over the hump. And they did it by playing together. Siakam rose to another level. I mean, Siakam, to me, had almost talent, but he was just like a wild horse running around in a field with no direction. And all of a sudden, they put him on the track, and they tell him, go forward, young man, and boom, he just takes off. I mean, it Kyle Lowry went from trying to score all the time to being more of an assist man. I mean, even though that final game, they wouldn't have won without his first quarter, but they just changed their whole, and Van Vliet, we already knew because he lit us up in the playoffs too, but we already knew he had it. But it's just amazing to see how they all came together to beat a super group. Now, again, granted, they weren't the same group, but now Golden State understands how we felt when we lost to them that first year.
Austin Carr joining us. Austin, we have a mutual friend, you, me, Andy, who's about 6'8". Played his college basketball at a place called Michigan, who has been telling me for some time, hey, by the way, John Beilein can really coach. And that was when John Beilein was the coach at Michigan. And, of course, those were the words of Campy Russell. What do you think about the Cavaliers going to the college ranks and bringing in a guy who, and Campy had no idea that they would end up coaching the Cavs, but Campy's always told me, John Beilein can really coach basketball.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I think it surprised a lot of people, but at the same time, you know, he knows what he's doing. He understands what he wants to do. That's probably the most important thing, because when you understand your vision, now you can get people, you can plug people into the vision. But if you have no vision and you're just putting it together, then you don't know what type of talent you need. And that's the most important thing. You look at San Antonio, they've been good over these years. Why? They may not have the star, but they have the guy that plays their style of ball for that position. And that, to me, makes it all work as a unit. And then that's what it all comes down to. And I think Beilein, he's going to be good. Put it this way, I'd like to, as a scorer, I'd love to play for him because his offensive system. And I'm looking for Nick to I think I always forget. It's Stauskas. Is it Stauskas?
Yeah, Nick Stauskas.
Stauskas, yes. Yeah. I'm looking for him to have a much better year.
Yeah, he played for Beilein at Michigan. Yeah. AC, have some fun tonight, buddy. We appreciate your time. And the draft is always fun. I can't wait to see what happens.
Hit him straight, AC.
Yeah, me too. All right, guys. Have a good day.
We'll Thank you, Austin. Austin Carr joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.